Hey, friend, welcome back here to the Semi-Seminary. And here we are another week, another episode of our Bible study series we call the Bible for Grown-Ups. We're going to continue our Advent series in which we're concentrating on this idea of fear. Fear of what other people think about us. Fear of what might happen to us tonight. Tonight, we're going to look at our fear of inadequacy with God. And we're going to look at this extraordinary moment in the birth narrative where God announces the coming of his son to the world, to the most unlikely people possible. I'll see you on the other side. Last Wednesday, it was my plan that I wanted to talk about fear and the angel showing up to Mary. And then tonight I was going to talk about fear and the angel showing up to Joseph. And then as the week went on, I realized two things. One, the story of Joseph and his decision to obey God really is a beautiful story of love. And I think that story was fitting for Sunday because we celebrated love in Advent. And the second thing is I realized that if I just did Mary and Joseph, then there's actually a third group in this story that would get left out. And once you hear the story tonight, you would realize why I would personally feel bad about excluding them. Or at least I hope that at the end you'll see why I didn't want to exclude them. So we talked about fear and Mary. We talked about fear and Joseph. Mary, right, her fear was what was actually going to happen. And Joseph was a big fear of what are other people going to think about us if we do this. And tonight I'd like to actually address the fear of where do I stand with God? The fear of inadequacy. The idea that maybe in some way we feel like we're not worthy. For those of us that believe in God, or we believe at least there's something more after this life, something, whatever it might be, happens to us after we die, a lot of times, in a quiet and honest moment with ourselves, many people will ask, what will really happen to me? Am I worthy? Do I make the cut? Did I do this right? And so I'd like to look at a group of people that struggled with this same concept. And I'm going to show you how God interacted in these people's lives in an incredible way. And it's the story tonight of the shepherds in the birth story. I'm going to tell this part of the story, the narrative, from the gospel account according to Luke. This story is found in the second chapter of his gospel account. And tonight I'll read verses 8 through 11. All right, here's the key player in our story, the shepherds. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Fear not." Or, different translation, "Do not be afraid. I," the angel says, "I bring you good news. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David," here's the good news, "a Savior has been born to you, and he is the Messiah, the Lord. Today I bring you good news. Fear not. Savior has been born unto you." Now, what's really interesting about this story, if you understand the context, which we like to illuminate on our Wednesday nights, is who this mighty angel delivered this message to. So let me give you my interpretation of the historical context might bring this significance into focus for us. Back in the first century in Palestine, back at the time when Jesus lived, whenever a family would give birth to a child, it was common, if they had any financial means whatsoever, to hire a herald. Okay? And that would be a person that would go out and herald or announce the birth of their child. That word in Greek is evangelon. And that means heralding the good news, preaching the good news. And the reason is because at this time, if you had the means, you would actually hire someone to go out and to tell everybody of the good news of the birth of your child. Especially at this time, if it was the firstborn son, right? That was a big deal. Because culturally and religiously at this time, that was a symbol of God's blessing on a family, because it would be a symbol that the family could continue on. So God's blessing that family. So they would hire a herald to announce the good news that their child was born. This is what God does. God sends an angel as a herald to announce, to herald the good news of the coming of a son. But again, what's interesting is who he sends it to. Think about this. Right? Let's wipe away the idea of kind of the fact that we already have heard the story so many times, and I think this is the part of Charlie Brown and something or another, and I already kind of know all that. So like strip this away for a second and actually, let's actually think about if that was the, if that act had a cultural significance at that time, and God was announcing the Son of God being born on earth, who would you think God probably should send the herald to announce to? I know from my perspective, from a logical mindset, I think he'd probably go to royalty. Let's announce it to kings. Or at the very least, let's go to religious leaders, maybe some Pharisees or some scribes or Sadducees. But instead, God sends the angel to go make this heralded announcement to some shepherds. And you say, well, of course he does, because they're shepherds in my nativity scene. But what is often overlooked is the truth that at this time, shepherds were one of the most disrespected groups of people around. The job of a shepherd was so low that a father, if he had a family, right, would give it this job to the youngest son. And more often, the role was reserved for slaves. Shepherds were uneducated. There was no means of advancement in the career field of shepherd. And this part is super important, because according to their religious system, the shepherds were always rejected. The religious leaders at the time taught that shepherds were not good enough for God, and that they can't be made right with God. In fact, shepherds could not live up to the religious rules of the day. So it's no wonder they always worried about, lived in fear of, where they stood with God. Because spiritually, religiously, physically, they felt distant. They were unworthy. Why did they feel this distance? Okay, I'd like to talk about three things in our study of these guys tonight. The first thing is that I feel like the shepherds felt distance from God because they felt unworthy. And it wasn't just that people thought of themselves as unworthy. They felt that way, not that other people thought that about them, rather. They felt that way about themselves. And the truth is, many of us can sometimes feel that way too. In fact, the shepherds were outcasts in Israel. And like I said, they were taught specifically that shepherds were not good enough for religion. You are not good enough for God. And one of the main reasons is because they were nomadic. They wandered, their job requires them to wander around. Their job took them on the road, so to speak. They were kind of like a trucker, right? That might be gone for 10 days at a time before coming back home. A shepherd might be on the road for weeks or maybe even months. Therefore, they couldn't go back to the temple. And because they couldn't go back to the temple, they were declared ceremonially unclean. In other words, they were not right with God because they couldn't perform the required religious duties because their job kept them on the road. As you can imagine, also, they hung out with sheep. So how do you think they smelled? Not good. And there's no Buc-ee's or Love's or wherever on the road where they can stop and take a shower or whatever. They were physically dirty, but even more damaging in their soul, religious people considered them to be spiritually dirty. So much so that a religious person wouldn't even dare touch them. Because if their body touched the body of the shepherd, then they themselves would be considered spiritually unclean. So you can imagine how unworthy they must have felt. And the reality is, again, like I had said, this is the way some of us can feel. Because, you know, we come into places like this, we come into a church, we put on our church face, right? But to ourselves, we know the bad things we've done. And we think, man, if I know what I did was wrong. And I also know that there are good things that I should do. I don't do those. And I know that there are bad things I shouldn't do, and I do them. And how, after all of that, and trying, how could God actually love someone like me? And you look around at everybody else, especially at Christmas time, right? Because they all look just so Christmassy. And at least in our minds, maybe a little extra holy or religious, right? And you're thinking to yourself, I almost killed my kid on the way to church last Sunday, right? If my arm would have been a little bit longer, I'd have taken him out, right? Then you go inside and you think, I really boned this. I've knocked this up. And you feel unworthy. Another reason the shepherds felt unworthy is because they felt very inadequate. They were by nature of their trade uneducated, so they never really felt like they measured up in society. It's amazing when we compare ourselves to others how inadequate we can make ourselves feel. Right? You go into your friend's home and the house is perfect and the candles are going, it just smells nice in there, and you go home and your house smells like laundry. Right? You don't even know what kind of floors you have because you haven't seen them since 1987. And you think, I feel inadequate. And even worse, spiritually, when they, the shepherds, compared themselves, they felt seriously inadequate. And where all of this, the breakdown, one of the main breakdowns is to be religious and to be right with God, you had to maintain the Sabbath. You had to keep the Sabbath. You had to take a day of total rest. Shepherds can't do this. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the sheep need their protection and care. So physically, they couldn't do everything that they were religiously supposed to do. And as a result, they constantly felt like a spiritual failure. Right? And we look around at other people and we think, they're so close to God. We do the same thing, you know. Seems like they've got Bible verses for everything, and they talk about this happening in this book of the Bible, and I didn't even know that was a book in the Bible. How do they do that? And when they pray, man, they don't stutter, and they feel like it just all feels so much better than last time I prayed, right? It was, help me not kill the person in the mall because they took my parking space. And that's how the shepherds felt, unworthy and inadequate. There's a third thing that I'd like to talk to you about tonight, a third challenge I think that these shepherds had in their inadequacy, is that they also felt very unloved. In reality, at this time, most shepherds were thieves. And it's actually kind of a sad fact that even the ones that weren't thieves, it was so common that they were all considered to be thieves. They were simply not trusted. People wanted and did stay a distance away from them. In fact, shepherds were so distrusted that they weren't allowed to give testimony in court because no one could trust them. Right? They wanted to get married just like anybody else would, but what father would want to bless his daughter to marry a shepherd? They're low on the totem pole and they're filthy and they're uneducated and they have no hope for a better future. And the reality is, we can feel the same way today. There may be some of us, perhaps, look, you know, there are, you know the story, right? There are people, maybe their dad left when they were a kid and they wonder, what was wrong with me? Why couldn't he stick around? What did we do wrong that was so bad that he wouldn't love us? There are others that are celebrating Christmas this year without a spouse because maybe they chose someone else. Or maybe they just said, you know what, I don't love you anymore. I mean, these are the hard realities of what I'm talking about here, guys. Those events in our lives cause us to turn inward and look at ourselves and think, what did I do wrong? I tried. I did the best I could, I think, but I still feel so unloved. Some of us, if we're honest, we look in the mirror and we don't like the person staring back at us. We don't even love ourselves. And we think, if they don't love me and I don't love me, how could God love me? It's so crazy to me to think about the difference between our perception and the reality. Because perception, right, in a place like this, right, in a church, you can look around and you think, well, he's got it together. She's got it together. He's more successful than I am. They look like they have a good family, whatever, yada, yada, yada. I'm so screwed up, though. If they knew the way I was, right? But you have no idea the pain of the people sitting in tables around you. On the outside, looking successful, happy, put together. On the inside, feeling unworthy, inadequate, and unloved. Bottom line is, religion did not work for shepherds. And religion actually made them feel more distant from God. Religion didn't work for the shepherds, and religion doesn't work for us either. See, the reason why I think the problem is with religion is religion, by its nature, reduces Christianity down to a series of rules, of do's and don'ts. If I do the right thing, I feel better about myself. If I do the wrong thing, I feel less about myself. I must be a good person, right? I don't drink. I don't smoke. Right? I don't play the lottery. Whatever it is in your mind. So I must be okay. And if you do that, if you do that, then I have the right to look down on you. Because I'm holier than thou. I'm more religious than you. Because I obey more of the rules than you do. And Jesus looked at that kind of behavior and said, that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. He said to the Pharisees, he said, you're so focused on the outside. Inside is filthy. The outside looks so clean, but the inside, where it's supposed to matter, is filthy. He said, as a result, you have missed the entire point. Religion didn't work for the shepherds, and it doesn't work for us. Because Christianity was never meant to be a religion. It was meant to be a relationship with God. That's what we're celebrating this time of year. That's why God sent a person. That's why God sent Jesus, his son. That's the good news. And you say, okay, that's good news. If there's a Savior, what does that mean to me today? How do I apply that to my life today? And I want to show you a few of the clearest verses of the Bible written by the Apostle Paul. Here's what he says. I would describe this, the most succinct version of the good news in the Bible, if not certainly one of the most important. Paul says this in his letter to a group of Christians that live in a city of Rome. It's called the Book of Romans. And in the third chapter of that letter, verses 20 and 22, I'm going to read the whole thing and then I'm going to break it down for you so we can clearly grasp what he's talking about with the good news. He says this, for no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. Right, you guys have no idea. This is really good stuff. Because the law simply shows us how sinful we are. Okay, the law is not there in place expecting you to be able to accomplish it all. It already knows you can't. It's there to reflect our innate sinfulness, to point to a need for a Savior. Okay? Here's what God has done, verse 21. God has now shown us a way to be made right with Him without keeping the requirements of the law. What does that mean? Verse 22, we are made right with God, not by observing the law, but rather by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Now let me break this down real quickly, because this is really as simple as 1, 2, 3, okay? What's the good news? Number one, the good news is you can't earn God's acceptance by observing the law. Right? You can't be, in quotes, good enough for God by trying to obey the law. And this was such good news for these shepherds, because they lived in a society where the Pharisees tried to make people obey 613 different laws. Right? Christians, we still have the Ten Commandments, right? And then God even makes that more simple through Jesus for us. Don't even worry about 10 anymore. Let's break it down this way. Love God, love people. That's it. We're done. Amen. Let's really narrow it down and make it as simple as possible. They were trying at this time to obey 613 laws, and the shepherds simply could not do that. Their occupation prohibited them from being able to obey the law. The good news, right, is you can't even do it even if you tried. For no one can be made right with God by doing what the law commands. So why is it even there? Again, it still has a purpose. We can't observe God's love by observing the law. Number two, what's the purpose? It's to show your need of a Savior. For no one could ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. Why is it there? To show us how sinful we are. It reveals our need for a Savior. Now, I just want to say that right here is one of the most important things that we are going to talk about. Because in our culture today, in my opinion, one of the fundamental flaws in thinking is so many people actually believe that they're good people. Right? If I asked, right? But if I asked you, how many of you think basically you're a good person? Most of you would raise your hand. Right? Maybe not all. Yeah, I'm generally a good person. And if you compare yourself to other people, you might be. But we're not talking about comparing ourselves to other people. We're talking about comparing ourselves to God's standard. And when we do, we're all bad people, right? How many of you have ever told a lie? How many of you taken something without permission? How many of you ever looked lustfully at somebody, right? If you've told a lie, what are you? You're a liar. If you stole something, you're a thief, right? If you've looked lustfully, don't, just as Jesus' words, not mine, friend. By the law, you're an adulterer, right? So basically tonight, my dear friends, we're a church of lying, thieving adulterers. Yep. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Now, you might say, that's not even funny. What's the point? This is actually important stuff. See, until we see ourselves as sinners, we won't see our need for a Savior. And until we recognize that compared to God's standard, we're not good people, then we won't be able to recognize, oh my gosh, I really need God's grace. Because when we realize our need for a Savior, we're going to recognize that religion cannot save me. with religion. I am a sinner, but I won't be looking for salvation through a Savior. I'll be looking to the rules that I can't keep. 2,000 years ago, a Savior was born. Indeed, Christianity was never meant to be a religion, but a relationship with a loving God who sent Jesus to us in a person so that we might have that relationship with Him.
Amen.
The good news, believe it or not, is that we can't be made right with God. We can never be good enough by the law. The purpose of the law, rather, is to show us our need of a Savior. Now, last thing. The good news teaches us that righteousness comes with God through faith in Christ alone. It is not Christ plus religion. It's not Christ plus church membership. It's not Christ plus tithing. It's not Christ plus good works. It's Christ plus nothing. It's putting our faith in Jesus alone. Verse 22, we're made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true of everyone who believes, no matter who we are. And the angel appeared to the shepherds, the people that religion had rejected, and said, "Fear not, because today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you." Are we worthy enough for God on our own? No. No, it's because what His Son did for us on the cross, becoming sin for us, dying in our place, raising us to new life. Because of that, when we place our faith in Him, God no longer sees our sin, but He sees His righteousness. That's why religion didn't work for the shepherds, and that's why religion doesn't work for us. Religion, friends, all about us and our efforts to somehow please God. Relationship is about God's perfect work by satisfying the debt that we couldn't pay through Jesus. Religion is about what we do or don't do. Relationship is about what God does and His work. And that's a game changer when we realize the shepherds felt just like we do, unworthy, inadequate, and unloved. But fear not, for today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. No matter how bad you've been, no matter how bad you've messed up, or how bad you feel. Verse 22, Romans 3, we're made right with God, not by good works, not by religion, but placing our faith in Jesus Christ. It's true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. And that's the good news. No matter who we are, the Savior has been born, and His name is Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys.
You know, beyond the importance of the shepherds tonight, which we highlighted, God's choice to herald to them the good news, the big thing that I can't help but take away is just like in Hebrew scripture, when God ordains a shepherd boy to be the king of God's people, it's in those most unlikely moments when God shines through. It's in those most impossible moments. It's with those people that are most marginalized. When God's power truly shines through to us in a way in which if God went to kings and announced His Son, then the story is about God and power here on earth with kings. But when God uses God's power, God's will, God's Spirit to transform even the lowliest, even the people we think are the farthest away from God, to be able to utilize them in such a way as to make a difference in the world, we can't help but realize nobody could have done this but God. I think It's God's usage of the least of us in which God's power, God's compassion, God's mercy, and ultimately God's love for us truly shines through. We can't take credit for ourselves. It had to be God. Anyway, that's something to think about. Until next week, friend, Merry Christmas and be well.